The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. We've been here doing this show, Dollars and Cents, for a little more than 5 years now. It's a pleasure being on the radio with you this morning. Hope you're all doing well. We have started Red Sox season. Sox opened up camp, opened up first day of baseball with a win on Monday. And it's just been a great continued week. And we have lots more weeks to come. We got some great players on this team, potentially a rookie of the year. I hope you'll continue to follow this right here, actually, on North Shore 104.9, where we are the home of Red Sox baseball. You can listen to every single game, every pitch right here on this network. And, of course, if you miss the game, the following morning, you get the Red Sox recap, and I'm delighted to be able to sponsor the Red Sox recap for North Shore 104.9. Got a lot of things to talk about today. It's tax time. As you probably know, we've got taxes coming up in the next, last payment is due on the 18th of April. That's when you got to have them filed. It's not the 15th, because the 15th, I believe, is on a Saturday. Sunday would be the 16th, Monday the 17th, Patriots Day. You can't file your taxes if you're in Massachusetts because the post office isn't running. So 18th, Tuesday, that's the last day you can get your taxes in. So here's the deal. If you owe taxes, hold on to your check until the 18th. If you want your refund back, get it in the mail already. There are so many different ways to electronically file your taxes that they will direct deposit it right into your bank account. You want to do this. But let's talk a little bit about taxes. How'd you do this year? How'd you do when you went to see your accountant? Did you owe money? Did you get a big refund back? Is either of those a good thing, or are either of those a good thing? My feeling is that if you got a big refund or you learned that you owed a lot of taxes, something got missed along the way. Perhaps you forgot to plan appropriately. You know, when it comes to your money, it's tough to guess. It's tough to guess. You can't do that. We get a paycheck. We get interest. We get dividends. We get all sorts of sources of income, some of which are taxable and some of which are not. Then we get some of these surprise taxable hits, things like what's called a capital gain distribution. This year, they weren't as large as they were a couple years ago. Maybe you have a tax loss. Maybe there's a charitable contribution. Maybe you no longer have a mortgage in your house and you're no longer taking itemized deductions on your taxes. If any of those statements that I'm making to you aren't making any sense to you, I hope that you're using an accountant. I am finding more and more people who are trying to do their taxes on their own are missing out on some key deductions. They're missing out on not understanding everything about their taxes. And that difference of getting $1,000 back or owing $1,000 might be the difference in the way you simply filed your tax return. Here's a perfect example. This past week, we got a call from an accountant saying that a client of ours who had died last year owed $25,000 in taxes. $25,000. And actually, it wasn't they had gone to an accountant for verification on this because they had started doing this themselves. What ended up happening is this client, who was in a nursing home facility, had been taking a large amount of money out every month to pay the nursing home bill. Now, they were taking $20,000 out of their account a month. My personal opinion is I don't necessarily believe the $20,000 was all going to the care of the nursing home. But that's another story and that's another discussion. Now, we did withhold taxes so that they were netting around $17,000 after we withheld some taxes. However, in November of this year, they also said we've got another $100,000 remaining in the account what would be the impact if we just took it out? And I actually said to them, look, if all of your deductions are legitimate, that and all of the distributions that you're taking from your IRA can be legitimately offset with medical expenses, there may not be much in the way of tax liability at all. And they said, well, you know, his medical bills are ridiculously high. And I said, okay, but understand, if they're not legitimately deductible expenses, then you're going to owe taxes. They said, okay, we're willing to take that risk. So we sent him another $20,000. I mean, another $100,000. So in total, they took out a little bit more than $300,000 from their IRA. And they thought, well, Mark's been withholding taxes along the way. We won't worry about this last group. Well, they do their taxes and they realize that they owe $25,000. So they go to an accountant and they say, well, here's the stuff that we have. And the accountant comes up with the same conclusion, that they owe $25,000. But here's the problem. They don't owe $25,000. You see, what ended up happening with that $100,000 that they wanted to take out, they actually didn't take possession of that $100,000. They turned it into what's called an annuity, something that would pay them a guaranteed income stream, them or their father, for a certain number of years. And so the movement of that $100,000 to the annuity was a non-taxable event. Yet they neglected to show the accountant the paperwork that proved it was a non-taxable event. And so through their negligence, they were going to owe $25,000. But had they had an accountant go through all of the details, reach out to a firm like ours, we would have easily been able to tell them the money that went to the annuity could have been offset against that $300,000. They'd only owe tax on $200,000, not $300,000, and they wouldn't owe $25,000 in taxes. Yes, I know I've probably lost you halfway through that conversation. I get that. The point is that when you're doing your taxes, oftentimes you're reading the statements that you see in front of you, and you read them for the lines that they are, but you don't understand the rationale and the reason as to why you got some of those tax forms. And some of those tax forms require you to dig a little bit deeper to provide a little bit more information. And so, frankly, TurboTax and Quicken and all these others, they'll probably ask you all the right questions. But if you don't know the answers to the questions or it sounds too confusing, you just move on. Folks, it's too important, especially as you're approaching your years in retirement. Doing taxes on your own is a dangerous thing to do, I believe. For the cost of, say, $300 or $400 to get your taxes done, find somebody else that will take the responsibility, will allow themselves to be held accountable to process those documents. You want to be sure that you're understanding whether you need to pay estimated taxes. You want to understand whether you should have taxes withheld. You know, many people seem to believe that when you're getting your Social Security check, oh, Social Security must withhold taxes, or perhaps my Social Security that I get is tax-free. Well, there are situations and all there are rational answers to all of those issues, but you have to decide what's the right one. And if you don't know how to make that informed decision, you could find yourself terribly out of control when you get the answer and looking at what you owe or what your refund might be. You may not like what you see. Folks, I'm just telling you, you got to have your taxes done by somebody else. Let them be rational. Let them be appropriate. Let them explore what the possibilities are. Now, I know there's some of you that say, well, there's certain things that I take as deductions on my tax return that, God, I could never tell an accountant about. Well, then you end up like the guys at Giovanni's over in Lake Street. I'm sure you heard that story this past week. Now, folks, if you're in a cash business, I'm sorry. I have no sympathy for you if you get arrested, if you go to jail. I have zero tolerance for that, and so should you. And I know there's many of you that are listening. You may own a dry cleaner. Maybe you own a Chinese food restaurant. Maybe you own a deli or whatever it might be. If you're not reporting your cash revenue, don't expect Social Security benefits. Don't expect all the benefits that comes from America for people that actually pay their taxes appropriately. If you're hiding the bulk of your revenue in safe deposit boxes, in bank bags, under your mattress, whatever it is, you deserve to get thrown in jail if you get caught. It's that simple. I have zero sympathy for you. But here's one of the bigger things, bigger challenges that most business owners face. And these are legitimate business owners. Legitimate business owners take what are considered real and appropriate deductions through their business. Maybe they pay for you. Maybe your business pays for your car. Maybe it pays for your gasoline. Maybe it's for some of your meals, perhaps for some entertainment, perhaps for some office supplies that you end up taking home with you. You know what? You take those things. Understood. But if you're a business owner and you choose to retire, you're a business owner and you choose to retire, understand that the expenses that you're going to have to live with are not just the expenses that come out of your personal checkbook. Somehow you're going to need to recoup the expenses that you are taking through the business. And many people neglect to realize that. They neglect to realize how much of a benefit that they get financially as a business owner. So if you say to me, Mark, I need to spend $5,000 or $6,000 a month in retirement, but when we actually realize that $3,000 or $4,000 a month over and above the five to six are coming out of your business to support your life, then you really need $10,000 or $11,000. You got to be realistic, folks. You got to look at your expenses. There's legitimate expenses and illegitimate expenses. I'm not a tax professional. I do not prepare tax returns, but I will tell you this. Nobody has tolerance for business owners who choose not to share the revenue in their office. That becomes problematic. We have to fix that. We have to go after that. I cheer the IRS for knocking on the door at Giovanni's. Look, and I've been a long-time customer at Giovanni's. Long-time customer. I've been going there for a very long time. And you got to understand, when we're talking about Giovanni's, there's a lot of Giovanni's. So make sure that you know which Giovanni's we're talking about. This is the one on Lake Street, the one that is, well, go back to visit Muncie Subs, because poor Muncie Subs got killed, I think, when Giovanni's went over there. But take a look at what's going on over there at Lake Street. That is problematic. I'm sorry. I mean, that's been out there in the news. Look, we had Nick's across the street from here, too, that had another problem like that. Folks, stop running the cash business. And if you're paying your employees, and if you're paying your employees under the table, and your employees are also trying to collect Medicaid and state benefits and all that kind of stuff, that's screwing the system, too. That has to stop. If you want to get your fair shake as a paying citizen, someone that pays into our system, someone that wants benefits from Social Security, from Medicare, you want to get your benefits, we've got to stop the abuse that continues to go on by paying people under the table and also allowing them to collect welfare benefits at the same time. That, my friends, is a problem. Yeah, we've been talking about taxes. We provide financial advice in a language you can understand. I cut right to the chase. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I'm going to tell it like I see it. Yeah, sure, there's going to be people that have different opinions and different people that don't necessarily agree with everything I say. And perhaps you're screaming at your radio right now. Well, that's okay. Pull up the covers. Get underneath those covers and cry yourself to sleep, because I'm not going to stop offering up my perspective on what's going on. I may not be right all the time. You know what? I'm probably right less than half the time. Who knows whether I'm right or not? But I will share that perspective, and I think you should too. We've got to stop being so politically correct in everything that we're saying out there. We've got to let people know how we feel, with some caring as well, and understanding that how we feel has some compassion behind it, because we've got to get the truth out there. All right, I got a lot more things to talk about here today. I want to talk about a financial review checklist after doing the tax return conversation. I want to talk about financial review checklist. It's been tax time. You've got to start looking at your personal finances. Another thing that I want you to look at, I want to go over what's been going on in this market after one quarter. How are we doing? How are you doing? Is your portfolio well prepared? And lastly, I've got this little story that I want to share with you that tries to separate the successful people in the world from the unsuccessful people in the world. You can find out why when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Isn't it time to get serious about your retirement planning? Friedman Financial is a financial planning and investment management firm in Peabody. They've been helping professionals and retirees put solid strategies into play for 40 years. When you're planning to get serious about planning for retirement, call Friedman Financial for a free initial consultation at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or go online to FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
If I had $1,000,000.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Perhaps you're still pulling hair out of your head. Perhaps you're screaming at the radio. Perhaps you're telling your spouse, I don't ever want to listen to that guy on the radio again, because yes, I offered up some very honest and very raw comments about how I feel about business owners who work on an all-cash basis and don't report their taxes. You deserve to get thrown in jail if that's how you work. I'm sorry, I'm just going to cut straight to the point there. You know, if you run a legitimate business and you pay your taxes, that's great. You're allowed to take advantage of the system that's been built for business owners, and that those are all great programs that are available to you. From retirement plans to being able to take some deductions for your use as part of the business. People that just simply hit the no sale button on the cash register, simply just collect cash over the counter, shove it in a safe deposit box, and let it all accumulate because they don't want the bank or the government to see the kind of revenues that's coming into the firm. But then on the other side, want their benefits for Social Security. They want a better retirement plan. They want Medicaid. They want all sorts of services, and they believe they're entitled to it. Well, that is cheating the system, my friends, and I don't like it, and you shouldn't like it either. I mean, it's frankly, it's just the wrong thing to do. Anyways, I want to talk a little bit about the market. Look, we've had a great quarter. You know, many people will complain and yell that they didn't like Donald Trump winning this election, and doesn't matter what you think. He's the president. So you got to suck that up and deal with it. But, you know, if you're an investor, if you're someone that owns a 401k plan, if you're somebody that continues to put money in the market, well, look, over the past 3 months, just from January 1st from January 1st to March 31st, you're up 6.07%. Now, I'm not about to take 6.07 and multiply it times 4 and say you're up 24% annualized for the year. You're not. But you got 6% for the year. For many people, those of us that invest in the stock market and bond markets and looking at their 401k plans, looking at your investment portfolios, you're shooting for 6 to 8% over the course of a year. So in reality, would you be satisfied if this market went nowhere between now and the end of the year? Would that be Trump's fault? Absolutely not. No one knows the direction of this market. Nobody knows what's going to happen next. I can tell you this, though. At some point, the market will go down. That's a pretty bold statement, huh? The market will go down, and the market could go down big. But what's big? The guy from Raymond James, chief economic officer from Raymond James last week said, this market is in for a big correction. So help me quantify what big correction means. He says, I think we could pull back about 2,000 points on the Dow. Oh, my goodness. Pulling back 2,000 points on the Dow. You know where that takes us to? Middle of November last year. And last year, before we approached this election, many people didn't want to put their finger into the markets because they worried about what would happen if Donald Trump got elected. They worried about, well, if Hillary Clinton got elected, though, the market would just kind of be stable. So we really didn't know what would happen. Nobody knew. And also people thought, well, geez, this market's high already. Whoever gets in, there's got to be some pullback. And what has happened since Donald Trump has come into office? People that have invested in the world economies, that have invested in global business, have made money. Folks, if you're investing in your 401k, if you're investing for the long term, if you don't believe that 1% is good enough for a rate of return that you can get on the bank, you need to invest in the stock market. This is good. The fact that the stock market is going up is good. Yes, it will go down and it will go back up again. It is a little bit of a bungee market. Lately, it hasn't been, but it will turn back into one. But that's not the president's fault. That's what's called normal. That's called normal market cycles. Markets go up, markets go down, markets go up, markets go down. So when's the best time to invest in the market? The answer is, as long as you're a long-term investor, it doesn't matter when you invest in the market. Just always invest in it. Because if you believe 3 years from now the market's going to be higher than where it is today, what difference does it make if it drops 25%? What difference does it make? You might say, well, if it drops 25%, then I'll get in the market then. I assure you, you will not. Because when the market is down 25%, you'll be crying like everybody else is, and everybody will be scared because the media will petrify you to death that this time it's different. This time it's different. This time we'll never see a rebound. This could be the end of the world society. This could be end of companies around the world. This could be the end of the S&P 500. It is not. It's not. We go through cycles. And as long as you're a long-term investor, get your money into the market. Or you could choose this. You could say, you know what? I'd rather just buy bonds. Well, bonds, frankly, if you're just buying ordinary, plain old-fashioned bonds, you're guaranteeing yourself to lose money. Oh, wait, I thought bonds were guaranteed and fixed, and that's where you buy fixed income securities. It is. If you buy a bond and you hold it until its maturity, that means you buy a bond today for $10,000. Let's say it's going to pay you 3%, and they say in 10 years it will come due. That means your $10,000 investment will pay you $300 a year. That's 3%. It'll pay you $300 for the next 10 years. And at the end of 10 years, you'll get your $10,000 back as long as you're buying a high quality enough bond that you know that there's the assurance that you'll get your money back at maturity. However, What if you want to sell your bond in year five and you've got 5 years left on that bond? Here's what happens. You go into the market and you say, okay, what is the five-year bond paying for an interest rate right now? Because the bond that you have, you've already been in it 5 years. You want to be in it another 5 years. What is the current five-year bond? If someone wanted to give you $10,000 to buy your bond for 5 years left, could they get would 3% be good enough? Or is the current five-year bond paying 5%, the one 5 years out from now? Is it paying 5%? And if it's paying 5%, which it very well could be 5 years from now, is your bond worth the $10,000 you put into it? No, it's not. No, it's not, because who would want to give $10,000 for a bond that pays 3% when you can pay $10,000 for a bond that pays 5%? Your $10,000 bond is worth less. How much less? Well, that's what the market's willing to bear. But no fool in their right mind would give you $10,000 for your 3% bond for 5 years when they could go anywhere else on the street and buy a five-year bond that pays 5%. So understand, when you're buying bonds in a rising interest rate market, you want to be very clear that you're holding this thing on, holding on to this bond until maturity. Because if you don't, chances are you could lose money. So what do you do? So Mark, you just said you could lose money in the stock market. You could lose money in the bond market. Could you lose money in cash? Yeah, you can actually lose money in cash if you really think about what's called purchasing power. Banks are paying 1% at best, right? Some people, I think I'm getting 0.15% on my checkbook, if that. But if the cost of goods go up 2% a year and the money in your bank is only earning, let's say, 0.5%, you're actually losing something that's called purchasing power. The cost of goods are getting more expensive. And your money in the bank isn't keeping up with the pace. I want you to think about this from a totally different perspective. This past week, we ran into a couple people who are looking to get, General Electric is offering what they call the VRIP, the Voluntary Retirement Offer Program, for people that have been there quite a while. You get paid a week's, for every week you've been at GE, they'll give you that as a severance check. So if you've been there for 31 years, you get 31 weeks of pay. Paid to you, I think, May 1st or June 1st. And then you have your option. If you've been there for a while, there may be a pension to you. There may be a 401k. There's a bunch of folks that have been coming to see us, and we've been giving them some guidance. If you're still in that boat and you want to talk to us about it, we know quite a bit about the program now. Happy to talk to you about that as well. Phone number, I should tell you, is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. For those of you that are listening that actually are part of this program, many of you would have had to have submitted your paperwork to GE last week. But as you well know, you have, I think, until April 28th to change your mind. And so if you want a second opinion, you want to talk to somebody to give you a sense as to whether it would make sense if you took this offer, I'm happy to talk to you. Come visit my office, free initial consultation, give the office a call. There's only a few days left before you got to make that final decision. So here's the number again, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. If you know of somebody that is being offered the VRIP program out of GE, happy to help. So let's talk about pensions for a minute. So one of the pensions that one of the offerings that's coming out of the GE program is your ability to receive a pension. Understand, when you get a pension, let's say your pension is for $40,000 a year. $40,000. It's not bad. That's $3,500 a month. Nice deal. When you get your pension check, you know what they withhold from your pension check? Federal and state taxes. No FICA, no Medicare, none of that other stuff. You're done. You're just getting that withheld. You're not having, you can't participate in the 401k plan, nothing. You're just getting a check for $3,500 a month. But you know what happens 5 years from now? You know what your check is 5 years from now from that pension? $3,500 a month. It doesn't go up. A pension is fixed. I want you to think back. How much did you pay for your last car? How much did you pay for the car prior to that? There's a big difference in those two prices, aren't there? How much was a postage stamp 5 years ago or 10 years ago? How much was milk or a movie or clothing or gasoline? Well, gasoline's actually gone down. But I want you to think about that. The cost of goods goes up on a regular basis. I see people that are collecting a pension of $2,000 a month in their 90s. and they thought $2,000 a month when I retired at age 65, man, this was more than I could imagine. Social Security was going to pay me $900 a month, and my pension would give me $2,000. That's $2,900 a month. I was living happy. How many people are living happy on $2,900 a month in retirement? I mean, many people are living on that amount, but I don't know how happy they're living on that amount. Folks, the price of goods goes up. Now, Social Security, fortunately, has a little bit of a bump sometimes. Not all the time. But pensions don't go up. You need to have the rest of your resources, the money that might be in your retirement plan, in your savings and securities plan, in your 401k, in your 403b plan. You need to have those monies exposed to the stock market. That's because you need to keep up with the pace of inflation. And keeping up with the pace of inflation comes at a cost. It comes with the risk of seeing your account values go up and down. But if you believe in the economy, if you believe in American industry, if you believe in business, if you believe that you want to continue to buy yourself, your friends, your family, better and better things each year, you want to go out to eat, you want to go and buy a toothbrush, you want to go out and get a better hair product. I mean, I don't know what you women spend for these silly hair products. I mean, my wife brings home all of this crap and comes home with these big jugs and bottles. It's like, what did you pay for this thing? And she says, you don't want to know. So I don't want to know. But I, you know, we want to keep paying for stuff. We want to buy stuff. When you get in a car, you want the new bells and whistles now, right? That means we're investing in innovation in America, in the world. If we want to be participants in sharing in all of that success, you have to invest in the stock market. I'm not saying to take risks. I'm not saying that you should go out and buy the next medical device that your brother-in-law is involved in that says, oh, it's going to get FDA approval and boom, we're going to make a fortune. No, stay away from that. But look at mutual funds. Look at exchange-traded funds. Find professional money managers, or better yet, find a certified financial planner who can introduce you to some of the best managers in the world and get your money involved there. That's where you want to put those dollars. That's what you want to do. And you know what you want to do as well? You want a dollar cost average in. A lot of people will come to me there. Like, for instance, if you leave GE in the next month or two, you will probably have a large rollover amount that needs to be put into an IRA. People will ask, well, Mark, what are you going to do with the money when you get the IRA rollover at your office? Well, the thing that I will likely do is not put the money in all at once. We will come up with a strategy that says, here's what the ultimate portfolio will look like in, say, 4 or 5 months. We're going to put a fifth of it in, and then another fifth, and then another fifth. However, if the market plummets, I use the word plummets kind of as a joke, but let's say it drops 5%, drops 1,000 points, drops 1,500 points. I'm going to use that day as a buying opportunity because I have cash on the side and we'll get in that day. Not all of it, some of it. And we do it methodically. That's called dollar cost averaging to build a long-term investment portfolio. Man, I get a little hyped up when I talk about investments, and I like to do that because I want to try to give you financial advice in a language you can understand. We do it each and every Sunday here from 8 to 9 a.m. right here in the Treetop Studios of North Shore 104.9. I've got more financial advice in a language you can understand right after this. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
The blockbuster 2017 musical season has been announced for Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater, and you won't want to miss a show. 76 Bravos at the big parade. Join in the parade when the classic American musical The Music Man marches on stage to open the season in June. In July, you're invited to be our guest when we present the magical family production of Disney's Beauty and the Beast. The summer continues with one monster of a hit show.
It's alive!
Young Frankenstein, the hilarious Mel Brooks musical.
It's a Transylvania mania.
Then join us in the fall for a brand new production of the Tony Award-winning musical, Evita. The season will end with a dazzling production of 42nd Street, the Tap Dance Spectacular. Become a season subscriber and see all five shows from the best seats at the lowest prices. Book your tickets at nsmt.org and make a memory to last a lifetime.
Welcome Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, where we've been providing financial planning and investment management advice since 1968. Not me. I was born in 66. I would have been two then. My father started this firm all the way back then. He's one of the founding fathers of financial planning. Dad retired from the business in 2007. Hard to believe he's been out almost 11 years or 10 years or so from the business. I joined the firm in 1991, and my business partner, Marion Gilman, joined our firm in 2000. And together, the two of us and our staff have built Friedman Financial to continue to serve the needs of individuals and families who live on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the southern New Hampshire area. And we love doing this for people in our office, but I also love doing it here at the radio. It's kind of fun. You know, every morning when you wake up, well, not every morning, every Sunday you wake up, you get here, you roll out of bed, and you have a few cups of coffee, as you can well hear if you've been listening to the show for the first couple segments. Yeah, I've had a few cups of coffee this morning. We get to overlook the beautiful North Beverly train station where nobody, I don't think anybody's taking a train in today. It's just kind of dead at the parking lot. And I've got all these beautiful picture windows so I can look at all the cars driving by. I can clean up Dana Hersey's mess from the week that was here, that he was here. I mean, you know, he had a great run this week. It was, you know, the opening day of the Red Sox. And so there's still mustard stains and relish droppings all over the carpet in here. So hopefully the cleaning service will get in here this week and really scrub that stuff up. And Dana's got like mustard prints on these markers and pens. So we'll have to change that up. So anyways, we are here enjoying this day and recognizing that tax season, tax deadline day is just a few days away. Not this week, but next week. This week actually starts, Passover for our Jewish friends starts Monday night. I think Easter is the following Sunday. We've got that going on. We got lots and lots of stuff, lots of holidays, lots of remembrances that spring is in the air. Let's get this snow out of here. I'll tell you, last Saturday when I heard the Red Sox were going to open up, you know, first game on Monday, I thought, how the heck are they going to open this up with all this rain, wind, sleet? But they got it done, and they got great weather on Monday, so good for them on Monday. Anyways, I was talking about the stock market. I was talking about how you should invest, where you should invest, what you should do. And there is no right answer. That's one of the things, if there's anything that you learn from listening to this radio show, is when somebody says, when you ask the question, what should I do with this money? Or what should I, where should I put this? Or how should I handle this situation? There is no one specific answer for everybody. Now, the commercials that you see on television, the mailings that you get from financial institutions, they're all going to try to sell you some type of a packaged program. You do this strategy or this service or this idea. They don't know you. They don't know where everything else is. They don't know how your money impacts everything else in your life. They don't know whether you're caring for parents, whether you have a responsibility to other kids. They don't know whether you have debts. They don't know whether your job is on the lurch or perhaps you're up for a new promotion. A financial planner looks at everything in your life. They understand where everything is and what everything is worth before ever making a recommendation. Perfect example. A guy comes to me this past week and he's looking at an early retirement offer and he wants to get a second opinion. And he comes to me with notes. He says, I've got this amount in the bank. I've got this amount in my 401k. I've got Social Security expected. I've got a pension expected. Here's what my house is worth. And he gives it all on a piece of paper that he's printed up. He's typed it up on an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. And he says, can you tell me whether I can retire or not? So I said, look, here's the deal. I'm going to put in this data. Come back to me in a day or so. I'm going to put in this data and let you know what my outcome is. But I will tell you this. I am not signing off on it. What do you mean you're not signing off on it? So the reality is that I can put in anything you want based on the data that you show me. But if you want me to print something up and you want me to sign off on it, I need to see the real numbers, the real documentation. Folks, we live in a very litigious society. And if someone runs the situation to say, I want to retire, and you go to a financial advisor, and the financial advisor provides that to you in writing that says, hey, looks like you can do this. And what happens whether you when you start retirement and you realize some of those income streams that the financial advisor told me I was going to get aren't happening the way I thought? Who's responsible? Well, that financial planner should take full responsibility for that. In fact, one of the things I take great pride in, and we take great pride in our office, is we have been hired to be expert witnesses. We go into court cases where a financial advisor has been hired by an individual who's considering retiring from a company, and that financial client believes that the financial advisor provided them incorrect advice and incorrect data points from the report that was provided to them, despite providing factual information to the financial advisor. You need to be prepared. You need to make sure that when you're getting advice from a financial advisor, that you are providing them with accurate and documented information. And after, if they don't go through it thoroughly with you to track everything that's there, get a second opinion. Folks, when you decide on Social Security, when you decide on pensions, when you decide on taking money from an annuity, these are irrevocable decisions. Irrevocable means they can't be changed. You want to make sure you're approaching this right, because it's pretty scary to start taking money from your investments once the paycheck stops. Because that's what we've been told, right? We've been always taught, put money away, save money, save money. And as you hit 40, 50, or even 60, you start saying to yourself, geez, I wish I started doing this sooner. I wish I started doing this sooner. Well, you can't look backwards, folks. You cannot look backwards. But the reality is, at some point, the paycheck will stop. And you won't be able to save money anymore. But instead, you're going to have to rely on the money that you've accumulated to support you for perhaps the next 30 years. And chances are, you don't want to be on a fixed income for 30 years. Cost of goods are going up, folks. You want to be sure you have flexibility in the income stream you draw. And the way to do that is by being well-diversified, have a proper asset allocation of your investable assets, balance what you can from your guaranteed income streams, like a pension, like Social Security, and use your other resources to help you keep pace with inflation by investing in various markets. In fact, who would believe that year to date, the best place to invest your money is in emerging markets? That's the best place to be. On a year-to-date basis, up 11.5%. That means investing in Russia, India, Brazil, Vietnam. Would you like to invest there? Would you think about investing there? I think it's appropriate for a portion of your portfolio, but it's no reason to rush. We had people calling us a couple of years ago when they saw that China was up some 80% for the year, and they said, I want to put all my money in China. It's ridiculous. It could be down 80% as much as it can be up 80%. It goes all over the place, and that's what happens to emerging markets. Now, I will assure you this. Over time, I think the upside on emerging markets is far better than it is domestically. Think about this. We've all heard about Apple. We've all seen the success and heard the successes of how much money people have made by investing in Apple. Well, the people that made the most money in Apple were the people that invested in Apple years and years ago. But why did Apple continue to be so successful? Because more and more people wanted to own a piece of Apple. Now, I'm not talking about shares of Apple. They wanted to own an Apple phone, an iMac, whatever it is, iTunes, whatever it could have been that they were attached to. But now, how many people do you know that own an Apple? Pretty much everyone you know has some connection to an Apple. Do you think Apple can do that again? Let's say Apple wants to sell another Apple product to every person who owns an Apple now. What's the likelihood of that happening? I don't think that's very possible. In fact, I think there's a lot of competitors that are out there, whether it's Google, whether it's Amazon, whether it's Samsung, whether it's Microsoft, that will begin to eat and take away pieces of Apple's market share. They have to. It's called competition. It's called competition. It happens in everything that we do. Remember, there might have been one car company when the first car company came around. Do we have one car company today? Do we have one brand of cereal today? Do we have one model of computer today? No, there's competition. The first person in the door, if you get in early, yeah, you can make a lot of money, but that's very dangerous because it's probably 1 in every 1,000 make it that way. But you want to be sure that you're diversifying. And that's why we tell our clients to stay away from individual stocks. I don't want you buying individual stocks. I'd rather you buy mutual funds or an exchange-traded fund, something that's much more well-diversified. But getting back to the point of the emerging markets, Think about this. Do you think Coca-Cola could grow at the rate that it grows at today, that it's grown at over the years, and just continue to multiply that way? Or do you think it's possible that China or India or Brazil could come up with a beverage that could compete with Coca-Cola and really infiltrate it into its own marketplace in these countries? And then if it's that successful, you know what happens? Coca-Cola then buys them. But the big money is to be made in these emerging types of businesses. That's where that money is. But I'm not telling you to put a lot of money there. Maybe 5%, maybe 8% of your portfolio. Another place to look at, though, is what is called large foreign investments. Now, for this year to date, large foreigns are up a little bit more than 7%. Now, what is a large foreign investment? What are some of the mutual funds that might hold large foreign securities? Think about Nestle. Think about BMW. Think about Mercedes. Think about Toshiba, Samsung, Baidu. All of these companies are big companies that are outside of the United States, but they might even do business here in America, but they're based outside of these states. A lot of those big companies exist, folks. Lots of opportunity. I'm telling you, if you're building a portfolio, you want to be sure you've got 10 or 15% of your overall portfolio invested outside of these United States. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I want to tell you the difference between what makes successful people and unsuccessful people. Story that I found. Folks, I think we spend a lot of time blaming everybody else for our own misgivings. Folks, the people that you got to blame for your own misgivings, your own challenges, your own tough day, whatever it might be, is nobody else but the person who you look at when you're brushing your teeth in the morning. I'm going to tell you why that makes sense when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away.
Do you ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Dance to the Movies is a new high-octane stage hit starring TV's Dancing with the Stars celebrity pros with So You Think You Can Dance and American Idol finalists celebrating and reinventing some of Hollywood's best musical moments from movies like West Side Story, Chicago, and Moulin Rouge, as well as new dances to scores of movies like The Matrix, Titanic, and Dirty Dancing. Dance to the Movies is cinema magic live on stage at Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater for two shows only on April 29th. For tickets, log on to nsmt.org. One of America's all-time living legends, live in concert, Paul Anka, Sunday, May 7th at 7:30, only at Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater. Paul Anka, celebrating 60 years of hits his way. Tickets are on sale now at nsmt.org.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. We are in our last and final segment of the show. We produce Dollars and Cents each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. right here from the treetop studios of the North overlooking the North Beverly train station right here at North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, where we provide, well, I've told you, financial advice in a language you can understand, but we do it specifically, not to business owners primarily, to individuals, to families who live on the North Shore, in the Merrimack Valley and in the southern New Hampshire area. We provide them with face-to-face, individualized, personalized, very customized financial planning advice and investment management services. If you'd like to talk to me about how we can help you with your situation, how we can help you put your financial house in order and give you perhaps some financial peace of mind, I'd love to talk with you. Our phone number, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Also, we put out a weekly newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. If you'd like to be part of that subscription list, there's over 7,000 people who receive our newsletter. The way to get that is going to go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Just go to the website, go down to the bottom of the picture there. It says sign up for Planning Pointers. Hit the button, put in your email address, and you will start receiving Planning Pointers this upcoming Friday. It lands in your box 10:30 in the morning each and every Friday. I promise you this. I will not call you if you decide to sign up for the newsletter. This is not one of these services where I'm getting you to sign up so some telemarketer can follow up with you. No, 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 no. We've been doing this for far too long. We've been providing financial advice on the North Shore since 1968. And the last thing I want you to do is feel uncomfortable about getting financial advice from our firm. People will come to us when they're ready to come to us, not when I kind of pester you enough to say, all right, you'll come in. No, do it when you're ready. That's how it will all work. All right, one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about was this difference between successful people and unsuccessful people. You know, recently I've been running into a bunch of folks who just have this incredibly pessimistic attitude. It's like the world is out to get them. And they seem to think that despite all the efforts that they're making and whatever they're trying to do, it's everybody else that's screwing it up for them. And I get insulted by that. I work hard. You probably work hard. You do the best that you can. But sometimes, you know what? Things in our business, things in our life just don't work out. And so it's a lot easier to make ourselves miserable by blaming other people for the reasons that it didn't work out. I teach this to my kids. I teach this to people who I talk with all the time. We first have to ask ourselves, let's assume we contributed at least 50% to the problem. And many of us will go, it's just not possible. You know what? If there is a rift, if there is a problem, if there is an issue, we're contributors to the problem. And are we doing it to work? Are we trying to fix situations to make them better for us or better for both of us? So what I find is the most successful people recognize that they are fallible. Successful people take responsibilities for their actions. They actually enjoy being held accountable and, in fact, would love the opportunity to be held accountable. Unsuccessful people choose to blame others. I didn't do it. It's this other person's fault. They throw somebody else under the bus. They never want to stand up and say, I will take responsibility for this. When's the last time you were at a committee meeting, a group meeting, at work, and someone said, hey, we're looking at doing this project. Who wants to step up and take charge? If you're the person who generally doesn't raise their hand, who puts their head in their lap, who hides in the sand, chances are you fall in the unsuccessful person category. Sorry, folks. That's the way it is. And if you're the one complaining that you're not making enough money, that they're not paying you enough, I can tell you the reason why. People who get paid more money are held accountable to more things, and they want to be. They thrive on being held accountable. If you don't want to be held accountable, if you don't want to step up to the plate and say, you know what, if this doesn't work, it's on me, you don't get paid more money if you're not willing to do that. That's the difference between successful and unsuccessful people. Here's another difference. Successful people want other people to succeed. They actually want people to succeed. They realize, I'm seeing some success, but I want you to do well too, because if we both do well, we both get paid better, we both feel better about the situation. Unsuccessful people do things to make people fail. They want other people to fail. You know, I look at sometimes, even in this business, I'll go to a conference and there are advisors that will be there talking about investment strategies that have not worked out for them, but they see an advisor who's really successful and this unsuccessful advisor will go over to them and say, hey, I got a great idea for you. And they try to sell them on an idea that will actually blow up in their face because they want them to fail. Think about that. I see kids in school doing it all the time. They're jealous that I'm getting an A and she's getting a C. So the girl that gets the C says, well, I'm not going to make this person, the person that's getting an A, miserable. Maybe I'll do something behind her back. Maybe I'll say something nasty about her. So she fails. That's the difference between successful and unsuccessful people. Here's another one. Successful people never stop learning. They read. They read magazines. They read newspapers. They are very, very inquisitive about everything that's going on. Not inquisitive so that they can find fault with somebody. Inquisitive to learn and gain more experience on what they already do well. Look, one of the things we take great pride in at Friedman Financial is that we have a legacy of almost 50 years of experience in providing financial planning and investment advice. We've seen every phase of your financial life. We've seen the phase of birth. We've seen the phase of death. And we've dealt with everything in between. And you know what always amazes me? After being in this business 26 years, our firm being in business 50 years, I never feel like we know enough. Every day we're trying to learn something different. Because as much as you can look at some analytical spreadsheet or do some academic study to try to figure out, can you retire, can you not retire? The money part, the mathematical part, it doesn't matter. It's the emotional part. And everybody handles money differently. Everybody's situation is different. We need to know that we need to continuously be learning. Unsuccessful people, they just know it all. Or they think they do. They don't want to hear your stories. They don't want to hear your ideas. They just want to share what they know. And just tell you, you're wrong. Let me tell you how this is really going to be. Here's another thing about successful people. You know what successful people do? They talk about ideas. They bring new ideas into the conversation, new ways to learn things, new ways to think about things. Unsuccessful people, you know what they talk about? Other people. That's how they enjoy their conversations at a cocktail party. How can I talk about other people rather than talking about ideas? Maybe I'm starting to describe somebody you know. I'm hoping it's not you, but maybe I am describing somebody you know. So which are you so far, successful or unsuccessful? I got a couple more. Successful people set goals and develop life plans. They think about what's coming up next. They don't live each day by the moment. They actually have some thoughts as to, well, I got to get my kids off to college. What am I going to do to get there? Rather than, well, my kid's someday going to be 18. When he turns 18, I'll figure out what we're going to do for college. Or, I'd like to buy a new car. I don't want to do any research on it. I'm just going to find a car. I just want a black one. I'll just buy that. Unsuccessful people, they never set goals. They have no plans. They take each day. They show up late. They don't care what time they show up. Everything is on their watch because you know what? The unsuccessful people know it all. It doesn't make sense if a party's called for 8 o'clock. Oh, I don't need to show up till when I get there because when I get there, that'll be when the party really starts. As opposed to honoring someone who says, I'm inviting you over for dinner at 7 o'clock and you don't show up till 7:45. Successful people show up at 7 o'clock. Actually, they show up a few minutes early. Those that are unsuccessful show the host that they really do not care. And here's the last one. Successful people have a tremendous sense of gratitude. Successful people appreciate what they've accomplished and they're willing to share their successes with others. Unsuccessful people, and this is the problem, they have a sense of entitlement. I got screwed on this one. What are they going to do to fix it? Every time maybe you got into a fight with somebody, or maybe you slipped on somebody's walk and you're thinking, oh, this is my opportunity to cash in. Where other people might say, oh, it was my own fault for not looking where I was walking. Folks, we got to be careful. And this all comes down to your frame of mind when it comes to investing, when it comes to your financial planning. Who do you want to blame for your ability or inability to achieve your financial goals? Will you be successful at what you do, or will you be unsuccessful at what you do? Chances are, if you're unsuccessful doing it, it's because you did not have the right frame of mind. You did not ask for help. You started to blame others. You were hoping that others would fail so they could be as miserable as you were. You figured, I know it all. I know what's going on. Well, the most successful people don't know what they don't know. And they understand that and they're willing to seek advice for it. Folks, lots of lessons to be learned. I know you might be saying to yourself, well, how is this successful people versus unsuccessful people relevant to financial advice in a language you can understand? Folks, it applies to everything because financial planning, investment management, more than anything else, It revolves around a life. Successful financial planning cannot be found in a spreadsheet. It cannot be found in an algorithmic program. You just can't do it. You need to integrate every element of life, money, personality, effort, and accountability into it all. And I hope that helps you today, because I want you to succeed. If you feel like you're in a rut, if you feel like you're facing a situation where you want to get your financial house in order, maybe even know you've got it all there, but you're paralyzed because you don't know where to start, I want you to give my office a call. 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We're not in the office today, but you can leave a message or you can certainly call Jody on Monday. We will get you in for a free initial consultation. I'll send you a kit about the firm. Or if you just want to give me a call, call the office, 978-531-8108. Ask to speak to me this week. I'll spend some time with you on the phone and share some thoughts and just see what's on your mind. I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to be here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. And we'll be back next Sunday with more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.